Thank you for coming to visit our poster. My name is Duane Townsend. I'm a professor at the University of Minnesota, where I study the heart disease associated with muscular dystrophy. We're particularly interested in Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Duchenne muscular dystrophy results from the loss of a protein called dystrophin. So dystrophin is depicted here in the poster as in the introduction in the upper left as a sort of the centerpiece of a protein complex whose main job is to protect the muscle membrane from damage during contraction. So in the absence of dystrophin, the muscle membrane becomes very susceptible to injury and letting stuff inside the cell get outside of the cell and letting stuff from outside the cell get inside the cell, resulting in poor contractile function and often the death of that cell. So this is particularly serious in the heart, where there's very little regenerative capacity. So when you lose muscle tissue from the heart, it's gone forever. Okay? So protecting heart muscle is a really important aspect of managing the heart disease associated with muscular dystrophy. In our laboratory, we use the MDX mouse, which you might have heard about. It's a very commonly used model to understand the pathogenesis of muscular dystrophy. So when we look at a dystrophic mouse heart, which you can see here. So if you look at figure one and then C, where we've got the pictures, there's six little kind of donut-shaped things. Those donut-shaped things are the mouse hearts cut in cross-section. The very center, there's kind of this black area. That's the left ventricle, which is the main pumping chamber of the heart. So in these images, the green depicts essentially fibrosis. It measures extracellular matrix, but it plays a role in understanding and measuring fibrosis. The orange, or the red that you see here, so the red is we're measuring IgG, which is basically a mouse antibody. Mouse antibodies are supposed to be outside of cells, but they are not supposed to be inside of cells. And so you can see in the baseline here in that first column, there's very little red. At 30 hours, and we'll get to what that means in a bit, but you see a lot of little red in both the C10, which is our wild-type mouse, and even more so in our MDX, where we have large areas of injury that are present in these mouse hearts. Whereas if we look at 1 week at the very far right of that figure 1C, you can see there's not too much more green in the control. But if you look at the MDX, there's a lot more green going on in that heart. And that shows that there's a lot of scarring and fibrosis. So how did this happen? So we take these MDX mice, who at baseline, again, have very mild disease, hardly even can tell that they have a dystrophy at all. But if we push those hearts a bit, right, we give them a drug called isotretinoin, which causes the heart to beat hard and fast for about 3 to 4 hours. And then everything's back to normal. But during those 3 to 4 hours, there's a lot of injury that happens. And so you can see that if you look at figure 1B, we've got the percent of heart that's injured on the vertical axis, the y-axis, and then we have time on the x-axis. So at baseline, hardly any injury at all. At 8 hours after injection, you can already see the MDX mouse is about, 12% of the myocardium has been injured, has this IgG inside of it. These antibodies have gotten inside, which means that the membrane surrounding those cells have blown up, and that this big protein that normally is outside the cell has gotten inside the cell. We look at 30 hours and we see sort of the maximum response. About 20% of the muscle in the MDX heart has been damaged by just 3 to 4 hours of contracting pretty hard. And then if we come back a week later, all of this acute injury, all of this IgG incorporation has been cleared away and it's been replaced by scar tissue, by fibrosis. And so that's this heart at the end after, so 1 week following this one injection, that heart looks more like a heart that we would see in like a 2-year-old MDX mouse. Very damaged, lots of scar tissue. Okay, so this creates sort of a model that we can use to understand how injury happens and how we might respond to that injury or how we might prevent that injury. So the first thing we wanted to do is we're going to follow the little yellow arrow down to figure two, is we looked at a drug called Losartan. You might have heard of Losartan. It's a pretty commonly prescribed drug for patients with dystrophic heart disease. So Losartan is part of a class of drugs called angiotensin receptor blockers, ARBs. And so these drugs block the action of a peptide called angiotensin 2. All right, so we pre-treat these mice, our MDX mice, with Losartan. So we give them some drug before, just before the ISO, like an hour before the ISO, and then we give them boosters throughout so that they have Losartan on board throughout that time period. All right, so when we give the injection, so what you can see is the wild types, they aren't really that sick. So the C10s, those are our wild types, remember? So whether you give them Losartan or not, it doesn't really affect their response to injury. They get the same level of injury, which isn't very much. The MDX, now remember, we gave that and we got at this again is at the 30-hour time point. We get about 20% of the injury. 20% of the myocardium is injured if you don't treat them with anything. But if you treat the mice with Losartan, we find a significant protection. And so you can see there's very little injury. In fact, it's pretty much the same as what we see in our wild type, in our C10 animals. All right, and so that's shown in the pictures here over to the right, if you follow over. So you've got the C10s and treated with ISO in the upper left. When you treat them with ISO and Losartan, it doesn't really change anything. In the upper right, we have the MDX. We've got a lot of acute injury going on because of that ISO. Those were the untreated. And in the lower left, when we treat them with isotretinoin plus Losartan, you can see that there's much less injury evident. So this is really surprising because it suggested that Losartan was protecting these hearts from this injury that was caused by having to contract really hard, this workload-induced injury. All right, so as I mentioned, Losartan is not the most common drug that's prescribed to patients with muscular dystrophy. The most common drugs are ACE inhibitors. So ACE inhibitors stands for angiotensin converting enzyme, ACE inhibitors. So these are drugs that block the enzyme that makes angiotensin. Okay, it's a little bit complicated, but at the end of the day, this is a drug that a lot of patients end up on. The vast majority of Duchenne patients that are getting heart meds are getting lisinopril, are getting ACE inhibitors of some sort. Interestingly, when we do the same study where we gave them lisinopril just before we gave them ISO, so now we're looking at figure three, you follow the arrow and we're going back up again. So figure three, where we give the ISO just we give the lisinopril just before the ISO, and then we give doses of lisinopril. The timing of these is dependent on how quickly the mouse will metabolize lisinopril. So we move they have slightly less dosing, but that's because we don't want to overdose them either. All right, so when we give them lisinopril, what we find is that if you give them ISO, the wild types, again, no difference. So here we have the C10 coming across, so ISO only in the upper left, ISO plus lisinopril in the upper right has no effect, right? All right, so that's not too surprising. MDX, again, ice with ISO only, lots of injury. You can see again, about 20% of the heart is injured. But when we give lisinopril, we still have lots of injury. So lisinopril is not providing a protection against this injury, which is kind of surprising, right? Because this is a drug that has been shown in clinical trials to be helpful in this type of thing. And here, Losartan is doing this new thing, right? It's preventing the injury from happening in the first place. Well, so one of the things we're concerned about is, well, maybe lisinopril needs some more time to work. And so let's do the study again, but instead of just giving the starting the drugs right before we give the ISO, let's put the drugs in for 2 weeks before we get that far. All right, so now we're going to move up to figure four. So in figure four, for 2 weeks, they got lisinopril or losartan in their water. And so they would drink this water, they were drinking these drugs for 2 weeks, and then we would do the same, basically, protocol where we'd give ISO, we'd still do our boosters, because it turns out when you give them their ISO, they don't feel that well, and they stop drinking, and that's a problem if your drugs are in your water. And so we basically switch them over to injectable lisinopril or losartan. And what we see is basically the same thing, is that when we treat animals with lisinopril and we treat MDX animals with lisinopril, as you can see in the lower left of these images, we have hearts that are very injured. So lisinopril is not providing protection, whereas losartan, we still have injury, but it's less. Okay, so that suggests that losartan is providing some kind of protection against this workload-induced injury. So in figure five, we follow the arrow over. What we're looking at here is the percentage of patients who are on various drugs that have an ejection fraction less than 45. Okay, so ejection fraction is a measure of how well the heart is contracting. And so if we really want your heart to be, ejection fraction should be, greater than, 55, somewhere in that range. So most people's ejection fractions are above that. But as we start getting into contractile dysfunction and the beginnings of heart failure, it will drop down, below 50%, below 40, 45%. And so it shows 45 is sort of a cutoff here. And what we see is that patients, even those on ACE inhibitors, will over time, as they age, you'll have more and more of them get below that 45% cutoff. However, in the blue, the patients with the on the angiotensin receptor blockers, it looks like there's a trend towards them having a slightly delayed onset of this heart failure. This is obvious, it's very preliminary. So this data, we should mention what it is, right? And so this is just survey data. We just, patients go to their doctors, and their doctors fill out a form that the Muscular Dystrophy Association has put together. We collect this data from all over the country, and we get information from various clinics all over that send us their, what drugs their patients are on. We get a lot of data on their strength testing, whether they're able to walk, what their 10-meter run time is, their four-step rise time, all of these things. We get this information. We also get ejection fraction. And so we're looking at that data, and we parsed it to look at the data that, where we had drug data and where we had ejection fraction data for it. Now, there's many caveats that need to be sort of taken into account when we look at this data. First of all, the sample sizes are not equal. And so you can see in the little inset here is sort of the distribution of patients who are on each of the drugs. And so you can see there's way more green, which are the ACE inhibitors, then there are ARBs, which are the little blue dots. And so we don't know what causes people to choose to be on ACE inhibitors or angiotensin receptor blockers. Maybe that's presenting some kind of bias one way or the other. And also, just from a statistical point of view, it's not ideal to have such unequal sample sizes. But people get prescribed ACE inhibitors much more than they get prescribed ARBs. And so that's why we end up with many more ACE inhibitor patients. We don't know if these folks are taking their drugs. We know that they have been prescribed them, but we don't know how many are actually taking them. And we don't really know how long they've been taking them. Some of these patients may have started this drug, a little bit before they started their heart failure dip below 45%. So it's really hard to kind of say. Now, what we'd really like to do is have an organized trial where we compare them head to head, but that's challenging for a variety of reasons. And it's something that we're looking to do in the future. All right, now a quick summary of the findings here. All right, so your heart are made up of billions of cells, these little individual cells called cardiac myocytes. And these cells work together to pump blood throughout your entire body. So without dystrophin, these myocytes become stressed. Their membranes are a little unstable, a little wavy here, you can see. And that waviness, that injury, sort of sets them up for potentially bad things to happen to them. So if we follow around the circle here, so when stressed myocytes work hard, they can become injured, right? And so here you have the injured myocyte who's fallen down and is bleeding out its little intracellular contents. Now, we can measure some of those injuries and look for those in the blood sample to be, or in blood, in the plasma, to be able to see if that injury is happening. So many of these injured myocytes will then, they end up dying and they get replaced with scar tissue. Now, if we continue around the circle, this scar tissue makes stressed myocytes work even harder, right? Because now their friends are no longer contributing, but they still have to pump all that blood. And so now that they become more stressed, they have to work harder, and more of them will become injured, and those injured myocytes can die and are replaced with scar tissue. And we continue around in this circle. And over time, the scar tissue accumulates, leading to heart failure and global cardiac dysfunction. The heart just can't pump blood enough. All right, so how do we treat this? How do we stop this? And so you can see the little stop signs here. So both ACE inhibitors and ARBs slow this process of scar tissue leading to heart failure. This is how we discovered them. They were developed to treat heart failure in everybody, and acquired heart failure. Like if you have a heart attack and you injure part of your heart, and then over time you might end up in heart failure, we find that ACE inhibitors and ARBs are very good at slowing that process down, slowing the remodeling that happens and results in poor contractile function. Importantly, neither of these drugs really reverse that. It's just a matter of slowing it down. Interestingly, our data suggests that ARBs, but not ACE inhibitors, ARBs are able to stop this injury from happening in the first place. So ARBs may be able to limit dystrophic cardiomyopathy in two states, both as a limiting of the beginnings of heart failure, but may also work to limit the injury that we see. What we think is what causes this heart failure to get started in the first place. And so we argue that ARBs might be an even better solution for treating Duchenne patients. Regardless of this, we think it's very important that patients start getting treated early. If you get to the point where you're seeing cardiac dysfunction, that means that you've already injured enough of your heart that they can't keep up anymore. And so we argue that we should be treating patients very early. The guidelines suggest at least by 10 years of age, patients should be on cardiac meds, and our studies would suggest that, you know, maybe even starting earlier might be a good idea, because we can limit the injury of these myocytes. And if we can limit their injury, we can limit their death, and that will allow us to keep more muscle alive for longer. All right. Thank you for stopping by. I hope you learned a little bit. If you have any questions, my email and contact information are associated with the poster page. Feel free to send me a note and I will do my best to get back to you. All right, take care and enjoy the rest of the conference.